Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So, Paramatma Sundarbha Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 1, page 12. This verse states that by having bhakti, with distinction between jiva and ishvara, we can understand these subjects. Yeah. So, without knowing the living entity, without knowing jiva, without knowing the Lord, as separate entities, you know, eternally, you can't actually understand transcendental subject matter. You can get a glimmer into some the spiritual platform, but you can't actually understand transcendence. Because the point is that knowledge, that limited knowledge one has of simply that there's a spiritual platform that's beyond the material, that's not enough to know the absolute truth, right? You know a feature of it. You can't know the whole thing, because bhakti being independent, it doesn't require anything. Like mentioned before in the Moksha Dharma, that one can take shelter of Narayana, attains the Lord, goes back to Godhead without attaining the four goals of life. Because generally, you see, is that you know the Dharmartha Kama, then you come to Moksha. You have that whole Varnashram aspect is there to see that one is progressing. But the idea is at some point you'll come in contact with the devotee. But it keeps them moving through the cycle. In other words, they're going through the thing of going up to liberation, but because they don't attain bhakti, they come back down, they go through again, and they just keep doing that. So, but the whole point is that from any point in the system, if you take up bhakti, you can go back to Godhead. Right? Because that's his purpose. Right? Thus, the devotee is designated as the kshetragya of himself. The Lord, the object of knowledge, is designated as the kshetragya of all beings. After pointing out the object of knowledge along with the field and knower of the field, jiva, Krishna then shows that the natures of the jiva and the Lord are indestructible, and thus jiva cannot change into the Lord. Right? Because if the jiva is indestructible, he can't become the Lord. Right? Their whole thing is based on that they become the Lord. But if they're an illusion, how do they become the Lord? Right? Know that both Prakriti and the jiva are without origin. And know that the body, the senses, happiness, and distress all arise from Prakriti, not the jiva. Right? So all that comes from... So Prakriti and the jiva are without origin. They're eternal. Right, and then all the things that we have, the body, the happiness and distress that we have from that, from the senses, that then is coming from Prakriti. Not from the jiva. Right? And Prakriti is coming from the Lord. But the point is it becomes distorted once it comes to into this material creation. So we can't say, oh, it's the Lord, so it's all right. No. Yeah. Though the jiva is stated to be situated within matter in this verse, the jiva is indestructible because his non-material nature is shown. Then it is said. Right? Because it's showing that all means in this Bhagavad Gita 13:20, that it's the jiva is beyond this. Right? Then it is said, there is also a supreme person in the body called Paramatma, the great Lord, who is the witness situated close to the jiva, who is the permitter of the jiva's actions, the supporter of the jiva and ruler of the jiva, Bhagavad Gita 13:23. This verse points out the superiority of the person known as Paramatma over the jiva, and shows the great difference between them. In verse 320, the Lord clearly says that the jiva is also indestructible. In verse 1323, upadrashta means the supreme witness. Anumanta means one who initiates jiva's actions according to his karma. Because the jiva wants to do something, by the Lord's grace, then he's able to do it. Otherwise, he can't.
Yes.
Right? So it's the Lord that carries that. Bhartara means nourisher. Bhokta means protector. Maheshwara means the owner of everything. Paramatma means the antaryami of all beings. So you see, Krishna's already taking care of everybody. Right? He's the nourisher, he's the protector. Like that, he initiates all the actions that the jiva wants to do according to their karma. Like that, you know, previous desire and all that. So he makes it all happen. So the Lord is there. He's taking care and being with the jiva. So now it's just a matter of the jiva turning their face back towards the Lord. In the 15th chapter, it is said, there are two conscious beings mentioned in the Vedas, the conditioned jivas and the liberated jivas. The bound jivas are all these living entities with destructible bodies. The liberated jivas are fixed with one form for all time. Bhagavad Gita 15:16. The highest person is different from this. He is described in the scriptures as the Paramatma, who, by entering the three worlds, supports the living entities as the unchanging controller. Bhagavad Gita 15:17. Right, so the living entity is trying to control and that, and then they are suffering. Right? So then, trying to avoid the suffering, they go for liberation. Right? And then they come up with their limited spiritual understanding, which generally means just if you're doing this and it's not working, do the opposite. Right? So then the Lord, then if he is going to how you say? The Lord, if we're making everything opposite, so then we see is that we're trying to be the controller, so that means not being the controller is the opposite. Right? And since, we're all Brahman, then that means Brahman's not the controller. So he's just sitting there, existing. Right? That's all they're doing. Then Maya's taking care of controlling everything like that. But they're not thinking, well, who's her controller? How is that working? If it's a Shakti, where does you have to have a controller? Right? So it's not well thought out. So they come up with this idea that it's just opposite. Just like you see others. Oh, no, we're here and it's all bad and all that. So God, yeah, he has nothing to do with this. He's beyond. And they think they're really showing reverence to God, but they're just showing how he's not involved in anything. He's not the controller. And we're the ones that are controlling.
Can we say that if we develop, if we approach the knowledge with the right attitude, with parampara assistance, automatically we come to bhakti?
If that's your desire.
Yes.
Means you come in contact, that's your opportunity to take it up. But it's still your desire whether you want to do. Remember we were saying about the three levels of the jiva in sadhana is you have those with faith, those with steadiness, and those with taste.
Yes, yes.
Right? So by using the intelligence, one comes to the point of steadiness by removing the anartas.
Yes.
But it's by spiritual desire that you want to, be absorbed in Krishna alone, then you get the spirit, you get the taste. So that desire must be there. Because that's what we have as desire. Desire to serve Krishna, desire for Maya. You know, you can see as Krishna's already doing everything. All we have to do is desire. You know, otherwise then it comes down to, you know, someone's doing everything and then, you know, they've cooked it, they've served it, they've mixed it up, they put it in your mouth. And now you're expecting them that they're going to, you know, chew it for you, you know, sit down and play like this and all that. You know, so it's not appropriate. We have to do something. You know, if we're a person, you have to do something. Like that. So, yeah.
It says the eternal liberated souls, they have the same form always?
Yes.
What does it mean?
means their body doesn't change like ours.
Oh, like Prabhupada, for example, his body
changes. The residents of the spiritual world, they always have their eternal form. They come here, then the acharyas and that, they'll take on these forms of external, you know, forms like this. But their form never changes. This is just is a costume. You know, it's just like you play in a drama. Your form doesn't change. Right?
I heard in a class, they say that one liberated soul can have different services in the spiritual world, different form at different time.
But is that in one pastime?
No.
So then?
Oh. Yeah.
The three levels that you mentioned, the discernment, taste. We get to steadiness by through intelligence, through the process of anartha mudriti. And the taste, we say that it's from ruchi up. Can we say
yes, ruchi up. Like that. So the point is then being stable in the service, then one can start to focus. Because before that, the focus is so much on all the distractions that are there from the conditioning and all that. So, but by serving, then the heart becomes purified to the point we become stable in our service. So when we're stable in the service, then we can start to focus more on Krishna. Right? So then it's about developing that attraction for Krishna. Then you get taste. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, we're talking about how you speed it up. Yes.
So, back to the Mayavada point, atheists, they say, no one's God. And Mayavadis say,
everyone's God.
So, isn't it the same exact thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Just spoken in a different kind
of yes.
way?
Yes, because in general, see, is how we generally use the aspect of the general usage of atheistic means not accepting you know, scriptures and the supreme, that there is you know, the view is that it's knowledge is coming down and all that. So we see in one sense then even the impersonalists or the Mayavadis, they accept the scriptures and all that and they follow the scriptures. So in that way they would be classified as theistic moralists, right, in that category, even though they go beyond and don't necessarily follow all the morality. You know, its focus is not on the morality aspect, like the karmis. Because the karmis, you do good work, you get good results. Well, they're more on the detachment and all that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is because they're not believing in the Lord, then they're technically atheists, like that. So it's within atheists you're making distinction, right? Because even the theists, the concept of God is not very well developed. So there's some atheistic aspect there, but you don't worry about that. You know, it's like children, when they're doing something proper, you don't worry about all the mistakes. You're seeing, wow, okay, now, you know, they started to walk, or they started to do this, or, you know, the house is being cleaned, they pick up a broom and try to sweep. You know, they're not going to do a great job, but it's just, it's nice, it's good. So anything that's directed towards the Lord, but technically if you look at it, then they also, they're impersonalists, right? Because they can't accommodate how the Lord has form, because they only know material form. They don't understand spiritual form. There's not enough knowledge. Sense. But they're in a better position because they at least accept the principle, though they don't really know much. So their knowledge is incomplete, right? While the spiritualists, they'll have some knowledge in the way of the detachment and that in Brahman, but it's also incomplete. So only the devotee actually has complete knowledge, because complete means you understand the sambandha, abhideya, and prayoja. Right? You know, connected with unlimited. So in that way, technically, you have unlimited knowledge. Or let's say you have knowledge of the unlimited. You know, you may not know everything about the unlimited. That's not possible. But you can know... Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. But basically, they're the same. Just like sahajiyas are actually impersonalists. Like that. Also, it's just they're sentimental and not into knowledge and rules and regulations. While the impersonalists, generally, they're quite comfortable with knowledge and rules and regulations. Other than devotees, everyone's impersonal, yes. To some degree or another. You know, some are, that's why you make the distinction between those who are innocent and those who are, actively aggressive, inimical. Right? Because the innocent means they may be atheistic on one level, but there's no ill feelings or any ill will in that towards the Lord or things like that. So they can be brought to the point of actual understanding. Because they know that there's God, they know that they exist, and they know the world exists, but that relationship that's there, he's the supreme controller, they're not. There must be some kind of devotion. But then, you know, their ultimate goal is not prema. If you bring it up, they don't have a problem with it, but it's generally speaking not why they're doing things. You know, and then their process is just, you know, a little bit of prayer, which is fine. There's 9 processes. But it's not necessarily a dynamic service. It's not that all their activities. It's only prayer is spiritual. Everything else is just, you know, practical. Like that. And their relationship with God, they don't actually understand how he's controlling everything, how they're the servant, and the material nature is for his service. There'll be some ideas, but it's not very clear. Does that make sense? So that's why. So then, if you fill that out, then they have proper knowledge.
So this is preaching.
Yes. To take it further, to expand the knowledge, rather than start. Oh, this is all wrong. No, you start with what's there, and then fill it out. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say someone writes a paper, they hand it in, and everything's good except one sentence is wrong. Right? So the point is you have to correct that sentence. Yeah, if you throw out everything, then what's the benefit? In the last two verses, 15, 16 through 17, Kutashta means he who is fixed in one form at all time, according to Amarkosha. That refers to the pure jiva, not the Lord, since later it is said the Supreme Person is another. Here also the body, the individual knower of his own body, and the knower of all bodies is indicated. The two indestructible beings, Akshara, who are different since the word Anya is used, never give up their forms. Thus, never do they become situated as impersonal oneness. The phrase, so that's what Krishna is explaining in Gita. Right? So then that's what should be accepted. That's why we take the direct meaning. It works very well with this meaning. Right? Yeah. The phrase mad bhavayo papadyate, Bhagavad Gita 13:18, indicates that the jiva attains great powers like the Lord, known as Sharshti, not that he becomes the Lord. Though the jiva and the Lord are both indestructible, the Lord is recognized as the object of worship in order that the jiva rid himself of his material contamination, since the jiva has little power. Right, so the jiva to overcome material energy is not possible. So by worshiping the Lord, then by the Lord's power, one can overcome. But then the point is if you're dealing on the spiritual platform, then that worship would continue. Right? It's the platform of karma, or the material platform, where you perform an activity. When you get the result, you stop. Right? So, because their only idea is to get out of material energy. But then the point is if, why are they stopping? They say, because it's all illusion. Then how would illusion free you from illusion? You know, that's like saying you wash your hands with blood, it'll wash away the blood. right? Was it? Didn't work for Macbeth, right? So, does that make sense? So, there's great flaws here in their philosophies that they're not thinking it through. It just sounds nice, right? Because we want to become God, so anything that'll show that we're God, we're quite happy with. So, the phrase idam shariram, Bhagavad Gita 13.2, should be considered in the following way. Idam refers to the visible body of the individual. The body or field refers to the individual body. As a member of a class, each jiva having a body, since the phrase all bodies, sarvakshetreshu, is also mentioned. Right? Because the Lord is the Lord of all bodies. We are of our own particular body. Right? And the field means the individual body. Because it's only your connection to the field is through your body. Therefore, that it's the body. Right? It connects with everything around you, but only what the body can. Right? I mean, so much may be there, but you can't use it. Does that make sense? So that's the... Right? Just like, let's say... One is sitting on the boardwalk, right? And there's a big yacht. You can see the yacht. And so just that much of it you can appreciate. But your body's not on the yacht. So it's not the field. It's only... It means your body is able to perceive that, but that's is it. So someone else is on the yacht. That's their... So because their body's there, that is extension of that field. So, yeah. The jiva knowing his body, Bhagavad Gita 13.2, is also indicated in Bhagavatam 5.11.25, quoted above as well. It is said, the body, life air, senses, internal senses, gross elements, and sense objects do not know themselves or other things or the jiva. Right? So all these different aspects, even the senses, everything, they do not know themselves. The mind doesn't know the mind. The mind doesn't know the jiva. Senses don't know themselves, don't know the jiva. Does that make sense? So all it's just dead matter. It neither knows itself nor knows the jiva. Why? Because it's not conscious. Right? So because you know yourself, then you know what you want to do. Right? So therefore, then you have actions.
Yes.
But let's say you have a machine, it doesn't know itself. You have a supercomputer, it doesn't know who it is. And it doesn't know the jivas. It just knows how it's functioned, how it's programmed. And even in the program, it has programs to create new understandings and all that and learn more and more. What's its impetus to do that? It doesn't have one. So it's only as much as it's plugged in and it's turned on and the program is there, it runs. It's not self-aware. You know, there's always the thing is it has so much knowledge, it becomes self-aware. Like that, but since when is knowledge, the point is self-aware? What does that mean? No, because we're self-aware, then we have knowledge. Right? And we've taken our knowledge and put it into this machine. Right. Because for the machine, it really doesn't matter. Whatever it's analyzing, it doesn't matter. Does the computer, you know, say, oh, I only do this? You know, you turn on the computer, go to do this and that, and the computer comes up. Things that, oh, I don't do that kind of calculation. I'm this kind of computer, you know. You know, it doesn't do that. So, yeah.
So imagine one sense, actually, if we are not Krishna conscious, we act mainly by habits.
Yes.
From the past, you know, like looking for gratification or whatever.
Yes.
But it's mainly like not really, it's more like habits than just we want to do that.
Yeah, it'll be habit. It means we want to enjoy, so we have our habits of what we do to enjoy. You know, you have the have the phrase, you know, comfort foods or comfort zone.
Yes.
So you have your idea of how you're going to make your life better. If it works out, then great. If it doesn't, what do you do?
Look for
anything. Well, that's another thing, but in between, you know. Yeah, that when you're suffering, then you go back to your comfort zone.
Yes. The money and governments and socialism like that, they're using this. They're giving people what they need. They make it dependent on food, health, so they take away the idea of God. So they're just like these machines. They do whatever they want. They can't control them.
These things. You can use the knowledge in so many ways.
It is why knowledge is very important to develop bhakti.
It means because then we're aware. It's not that the knowledge will develop bhakti, but if we're in knowledge, then we have a tendency to look at bhakti and be interested in the knowledge of bhakti.
Yes.
Or the understanding of bhakti. So the spiritual life will be a basis. Right, so the tendency is that when we're dealing with vijnana maya, then the basis is going to be knowledge of the soul, the jiva. But on anandamaya, the basis is knowledge of the Lord of transcendence. Right, so then we're going to be situating ourselves in a spiritual platform, and then trying to come up to the transcendental platform. Getting cold again. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. You're probably going to see is that when it gets cold in the winter, then use of masks may increase because it keeps you warm. Right? Yeah. Summer, no one wants to wear them. The body, the life airs, senses, internal senses, gross elements, and sense objects do not know themselves or other things or the jiva. The jiva knows all these items and the gunas which cause them. He can also know Paramatma, but does not really know the omniscient Lord. I worship that Lord with infinite qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.25. So material energy doesn't know itself or anything else. The jiva can know the material energy and the modes of nature and that, and also the Paramatma, but he can't completely know the Lord because the Lord's unlimited. Then, Nomi is the knower of all fields, Bhagavad Gita 13.3, means, Nomi, Swayam Bhagavan, as the knower of all individual bodies and the whole universe, rather than the knower of one's own body. It was said. But what is the use of knowing all these individual vibhutis, Arjuna? Please understand, by just one portion of myself, I am firmly established in this universe, Bhagavad Gita 10.42. Right? So, knowing all the vibhutis, unless you know how they connect to the Lord and how they're representing the Lord so you become Krishna conscious, then what's the point of that? It's just, and that, even you know all those, but it's just a portion, it's just one portion of myself, a very small portion. So the Lord is beyond. So unless this brings about an understanding of the Lord who's beyond all this, then it's not that, you know, important when it comes to bhakti. You know, material life, yes, you've gone beyond, you take up the spiritual. So it's good, but where there is absolutely no alternative, one must take the trouble to use lakshana, interpretation. However, if one wishes to say that the two knowers of the fields are identical, the statement would have read, know me to be that knower of the field, rather than know me to be the knower of all fields also. Right? They put the jiva, and then he knows his field, and then Krishna says, know me to be the knower of all the fields also. Right? So otherwise you say, you know, the jiva, he knows the field and all that, and then it would say, Krishna would say, know me to be that knower of the field. He is that jiva. Right? Bhagavatam 5.11.12 also says that there are two knowers of the field. Brahma Sutras also express the difference between the jiva and the soul. The two beings in the space within the heart are the jiva and the Lord, because that is described elsewhere. Brahma Sutra 1.2.11. Gita also shows the difference in the summary of the section, Upasamhara, or the final statement, by stating that the jiva is situated in Prakriti. The jiva, identifying with Prakriti in the form of his body, experiences happiness and distress, which are born from Prakriti, by taking birth in various bodies of devatas and animals. This is caused by his desires for objects made of the gunas. And so all these births are taking place because he wants to enjoy. Therefore, you're trying in one way, trying in another way. Thus, there is unity because the agreement of initial statement, upakrama, and the final statement, upashamhara, the same type of agreement is expressed by the author of Brahma Sutras. Right? The initial statement and the final statement, they're in agreement. It's not that you're starting one thing and then in another, there's something. So just like you see in Yoga Sutras, in the beginning, second chapter, then they're talking about Paramatma and his glories and meditating upon him. But in the last chapter, then they're not talking about that. They're talking about, you know, merging into the Lord. So the beginning and final statements are different. So then you know there's something wrong there. Okay. Then in Brahma Sutras, if you say that scripture says that asat, non-existence of effect, is the cause, existed in the beginning, the answer is no, because the last sentence indicates a different quality, non-manifestation. Brahma Sutra 1.2.17. So if in the end it's there's only Brahman, so in the beginning there would have to be only Brahman. So you can't say that the material energy is the cause. Because where did the material energy come from? Where did Prakriti come from? If there's only Brahman, where did Prakriti come from? It has to come from Brahman. Then there's a consistency. Right, yeah. Brahma Sutra 1.2.17. Next, consider this statement. Knowledge of the knower of the field and the field should be considered my knowledge. Bhagavad Gita 13.3. So, knower of the field and the field, that's Krishna's knowledge. He knows it. Because knowledge gained through the knowledge senses in the body, kshetra, will be shown to arise from Paramatma. And because knowledge of the jiva is shown to be knowledge confined within individual bodies, all knowledge should be considered my knowledge or my awareness. Mama, jnana, matam. Since shadows of portions of my knowledge reside in their bodies, and I have entered into each of the knowers of the fields, jivas, with small portions of my knowledge. Thus it is correctly said that the chief knower of the field is Paramatma. So he knows everything, and then a small portion of that enters the jivas. Then they're able to know the field, but only through their particular body. Krishna knows all bodies. He is knowledge. So knowledge is his. So anybody knows anything, it's coming from Krishna. Hmm?
Jiva Goswami, when he compiles Paramahansa Sandarbha or any other, he just gives quotes and then explanation from himself, or just quotes?
It's his commentary. You could say it's all the verses. There's certain points to be made in the philosophy. So then he has all the... There's an ontology of how you structure them. And so then he has all the verses that explain that are the praman for that. And then he puts them together so that by the explanation you see what the verses are saying. Is that make sense? Yeah. Now he doesn't. Does he write a commentary on this? No, Sandarbha's not.
He wrote a commentary
on the Sandarbhas.
That's what is the Sarva Samvadini commentary. That is for the first four Sandarbhas.
First four, okay. And that comes up now and again.
Sometimes.
Oh, so he doesn't.
Only when the point is more technical. Only
then he'll write something. Yeah. Otherwise, okay. It's not so often.
and he wants to, when he's not satisfied defeating the Maya, or this, you know.
He has to get out. Yeah. The shoe wasn't enough. You want a cricket bat also.
Also, most of the times when he says that this is the meaning of the verse, it's quoting from Sridhar Swami, from the Bhagavatam,
okay,
and Vishnu Puran, when he gives more explanations. If he's giving from others, he mentions the name, but from Sridhar Swami, he doesn't mention, because in the beginning itself, he says that I'm quoting Sridhar Swami.
Hmm. Because it's always going to be based on authority. It'll never be, it's not an opinion. So as he has heard from Rupa and Sanatana, then he's writing. And also Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the original compilation. But just, it seems he brought it out more and bring out the ontology more, and then give much more, you know, more verses, more explanation. But the same basic principle is there. So,
because he has arranged the verses in an order, bringing from different places, that's why it's called as a Sandarbha instead of some other name. Because Sandarbha means arranging like pearls.
Oh, okay.
To make a nice garden.
Okay. Hmm. Cool.
It's a garden. It's like a garden.
Yeah. Yeah, and then what do you call it? Then you have Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting that instead of saying it's a Sandarbha, because Sandarbha means Jiva Goswami. But it's the same principle. Bhagavan himself appears as Paramatma, but the Jiva appears from his portion, Paramatma, which is united with the Lord's special power, Tathastha Shakti. This is according to the following principle. The product, jiva, which has the qualities of the cause, cannot be separated from the cause. The cause is thus the controller of the effect. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.30.
So previously it was mentioned that the prakriti and the jiva, they have no origin, but actually Lord is the origin of both of them.
Yes, but he... No origin means they're not produced as such. They're inherent shaktis of him. So they may be manifest at a particular time. Like you see, the prakriti manifests and unmanifests. But it's eternal. It's always there. So you say there's no. When you say there's no origin, it means there's no material organ, or origin. It's the Lord is where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
So just like you're saying, Lord has no qualities. It means no material qualities. Right? And it's not that they're produced at any one time. They're always there. The Tathastha Shakti is always there. All of the Shaktis are always there. Because they're his Swarup. They're inherent in his Swarup. Yeah, so the difficulty is all these things of eternality. Then, you know, there's a limited amount of unlimited we can accommodate. You know.
The difficulty also seems to be in explaining Satkaryavad, you know, the cause and effect,
mm-hmm.
is that we do the whole progression, but then when we deal with Bhagavan, it doesn't apply. The Satkaryavad doesn't apply to Krishna. So then devotees say, like, then what's going on?
But the thing is, why are they attached to the idea that it has to keep going? Because now if you just think of this, if you just keep it going, which they would be satisfied with, which feature of the Lord are they representing? Because what's just unlimited and ever expanding and ever... Brahman. So it's due to impersonalism. So that's why nirvisheshunyavadi. You know? And so there's a side, because generally the Westerners will never think that, oh, we're impersonalists. But they're straight up front impersonalists. like that. So because of that, because of attachment to a personalism, then this doesn't make sense to them. Point is God's a person. He's the origin of these things. So that, yes, there is an origin, because you have Satkaryavad, how would you have cause and effect unless there is an original place? They're looking at it from this side. I'm seeing effect, then cause, then that one seems like that. What about the other way, the descending? It starts there, because they're comfortable with there's an effect here and I'm starting it here. Why doesn't it keep going? No, it starts here. You know, so and then they'll take it back. So why can't it start there and descend? You know what I'm saying? So there's just certain conditioned perspectives that we have. Because also in here is now the Acharyas have said this, and that's the authority, and Krishna says this. But then that authority is not valid, but their own authority, that it doesn't make sense to me, that becomes the principal point of discussion. It doesn't make sense to me. Why doesn't it keep, you know, where's their origin? You know, they always say that with that smirk, like they're so smart. But the point is that, but since when are you the authority that this is how logic works? You could say it's not logical for you. It's just like the kid. It's not logical. Why can't he get a cookie at 5:30 in the evening? He's hungry. He wants a cookie. Mother says, no, you can't have a cookie. You have to wait for dinner. It doesn't make sense to him. So does that mean that that's actually the standard? Just because it doesn't make sense to us, does that mean now, oh, I see, I found a defect? No, it isn't. You're showing your own defects in that you don't have the ability to understand. They're taking it that themselves is already perfect. And then by adding this, I'm just becoming more perfect. You know, perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Right? So you're dealing with some inherent samskaras that are there. They go back to envy and attachment. You know, they don't mind stopping the process at themselves. Yeah. You know, why not? It just keeps going, and you're just an effect in the whole overall thing. Oh, that's impersonal. You know, why? You know, what about me? So, what about God? Why does it have to go the other way? That's okay. So you can see is that it's attachment to impersonal, because that's what we've done for so long. Yes. If you leave God out of the equation, because if you're envious of God, you have to leave him out. You know, it's just like, let's say there are, you know, a few people, and they're involved in a project, and they don't get along at all, right? And so then if somehow or another, at some point in time, you know, one of them or a particular group of them, then they, become the leading authorities or known authorities. So then when they're talking about the development of the company, will they mention the other people? No. Who needs them? We did it all. So that's envy. It's just they have to leave God out of it. Because the arguments, you know, why there is God, why is God, not why have you forgotten, why have you left him out? Why did you turn away? Why are you Bahirmu? You know, and then if you do that, then they'll bring the conversation around themselves that now they're the victim. You know, nobody cares. What about me? They're only blaming, you know, like this and that. So it's just a self-centered. It's just a very clever way to make our non-God conscious platform look glorious. Does that make sense? But everybody does it, so it seems like it's normal. You know? So that's the... Yes.
When it says that the jiva appears from Paramatma when united with Tatastha Shakti, is it like, can we differentiate in the jiva that his masculine aspects and then the feminine aspects of, like, basically his existence itself and his qualities as like that, as the Shakti itself and all? Because why this is, when it says the jiva's origin, it always is pointed out to the Purusha avatars and all.
Yes.
But when he's functioning, it's always pointed out to the energy, I mean, to the internal potency or to the potency itself.
Means you have the, if he's working on the material platform, as it says best before, you can see the modes of nature and how that's working. He can see himself, he can see the material energy, he can see the modes of nature that are controlling. You know, to some degree he can appreciate the Paramatma. Like that, because that's what we know. It means, like, Bhagavan, if you look at Bhagavan, what is it about? Is it about that, you know, he's God?
No.
It's about the person. So, for Bhagavan, there is Rati. Mm-hmm. Right? For God, then there's that, you know, appreciation or that reverence or, you know, like that. So, if we don't have any Rati for Krishna, and our basic position is being inimical to Krishna, then how do we, and by coming in contact with Krishna, we don't develop that Rati for Krishna. So now, to be progressive, what do we have to do? Right? We have to respect God. So then it's always going to be put in that context. Right? So now some may get bent out of shape and that, oh, I don't want to come from Paramatma, but it's kind of like, who cares? You know, you got a material body. You don't want the material body, but you got it. You know, so the whole point is that the Tathasta Shakti is there, but then how is the jiva then appearing in the material world? It's through Paramatma. It's the glance of Mahavishnu. He's Paramatma. Like, he's a Paramatma of the Mahatattva, then you have Garbhadaksha is Paramatma of the universe, and Kiradaksha is the Paramatma within each living entity's body. But so he has to have a body and all that, because he's given up the spiritual. And so therefore he appears from Paramatma. And if one's absorbed, one has that Rati in Krishna, then do the Acharyas, they go, well, actually, I'm not so bad, you know, I'm here, but, you know, these things happen, and this and that, and in this way, then Govindadas, offers these points because he doesn't really feel so bad about himself. Right? Isn't that how the song goes?
It's in the editing version.
Yes, yes. The politically correct, you know, feel good version.
Modern rendition,
yes. You know what I'm saying? Is that they just feel, yes, I'm here, I'm so foolish, I turned away from the Lord, I'm here. So they're not going like, oh, how can I come from Paramatma? I got to come from, you know, Krishna in Braj, you know. Like this. It's like, they don't say any of that. They never say any of that. They just go, yes, I'm foolish, I'm fallen, I turned away from you. See my unfortunate condition, but my only hope is by turning to you. You know, you're so kind, you're so merciful. You know, you're the Lord of the devotees, and so by your grace, then we can again take up that our service. That's what they talk about. These other things, these are just a material distraction for material consciousness. You know? Because you see, it becomes such an issue. And if it's an issue, then there must be a problem. Because the point is Paramatma is Krishna. So what does it matter, the mechanics? Right? Does that make sense? What does it matter, the mechanics? You know, it's just like, let's say, mother is making breakfast, okay? And so she puts the, you know, things into the pot. you know, and cooks them and then puts them on the plate. So now, if you have a relationship, then where is the food coming from? From the mother. But if you don't, you're looking at it mechanically. It says, you know, it came out of the pot. The pot produced it. So that's what we're doing. When this whole thing, attachment, oh, how can I be coming from Mahavishnu? You know, I want to be coming from here, you know, because it said jivas are coming from there, here. It depends on the mentality, how they're connected. And iron and fire, when it's in fire, then what does it matter? Point is in our condition now, we're coming from Paramatma. No ifs, ands, or buts. You know, who's glancing at material energy? Krishna? No. Balaram? No. Mahavishnu. So that's where we come. That's how we have this body. But otherwise, if you see Paramatma different from Krishna, then you're not actually seeing. Different feature, but it's still the same person. Does that make sense?
While you're explaining, I got the point also. I was asking more on the point that when we refer to the origin of the jiva, we refer to the masculine aspect, the Lord itself. It's because he's the shelter. The masculine aspect represents the shelter. But when we refer to the functioning, then we always have to refer to the energy because she's the one who's executing.
Yeah, because point is, Tatasha Shakti is an aspect of the Sarup Shakti. So then we're coming from the Sarup Shakti, which is coming from Krishna. Like that. And then we're manifesting in the external Shakti. Like that. Yes, yes. Like that. So you always have these. So you're always going to see it's over the masculine because it's, you know, oh no, I want to come from here. But the point is, it doesn't matter. If you're coming from Sarup Shakti, it doesn't matter which aspect. It's still the one feature. You know. Does that make sense? If I talk about Sarup Shakti, internal, external, and marginal, I don't have any problem. But if I talk about Krishna, same features as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, then now I take issue. Right? Because Sarup Shakti, you see it as one, is the one entry. The other, then, we're seeing the hierarchy. And I'm not about to be manifest from a lower position. I'm so fabulous. I'm the greatest. So I got to come from the top. No, isn't that? Okay. Yeah, it's just the way. So it's one thing where they had a race, and this one guy was leading the race for the whole thing. And somehow in the last lap, something happened. The number two and him were fighting like this, and he made a mistake, and he went off the road. But, you know, naturally no one can accept their mistake. They think the other guy knocked me off the road. So then when they put it that, you know, the positions, he was two, he was one like this and that, you know, he knocked him off, so he was not, and they came in second. So when they put the positions, you know, they put number one in front of the one car, number two, this and that. And after all that was set up, he came down there angrily and took the one from that one and put it in front of his car and put the two in front of the other guy's car. You know, so that's us. No, I can't come from Paramatma. No, I got to come from, you know, Braja Krishna, you know, right in the middle of his rasa, they go Mahabharata, that right at that point. You know, it's like stupid. It's like really stupid. The acharyas never say that stuff. They just say, I'm fallen. Here I am.
Also, Maharaj, like, when we are viewing, we either view the three aspects, that Sambandhavidya Prajana, or we may see only the masculine and feminine aspect, or we may see the origin, only one aspect. But in anything, to see all of them simultaneously is where, like, no, we fall very short.
Yes. Well, that's what it means by descending. Yes. Because otherwise you can look at this, you can look at that, but you can't put them together. You know, it's just like even there, is that dwait advait. They can see the one, they can see the other. They can't see them at the same time. So that's what's unique about a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. So of course, it's you're dealing with the highest truth about Krishna. And so then it has all these aspects to it. And so yes, it may have that contradiction, and that's our problem. So if we're attached to logic, then how are you going to get to Braj? We want Braj, but we want logic. It's like, huh? It's like that. No, the acharyas have said this is the way it is. We accept them. If it's something I don't understand how this works out, but to actually have, no, this can't be right, then that's a problem. The Prabhupada says, that's Arjuna. He's arguing all kinds of things. You know, Krishna is saying, you know, you should fight, you know, you should kill the enemy. What's his name? Krishna, Arjuna's name, how he's, you know, expert at fighting. I can't remember. No, it's another one. That means it's like both hands and that. But he says that, and Arjuna then retorts back. He says, "Yes, you are known as Madhusudana.
Okay.
You killed a demon, but you're asking me to kill my grandfather. You know, so you know that makes me Bhishma Sudana or Drona Sudana, right?" So all this arguing is going on, but then when he says, okay, I can't work this out, and he surrenders, then he accepts. He asks questions to make it clear, but it's not like, oh no, this is wrong. So that's the difficulty, is that Prabhupada and the Acharyas say, but we'll think there's something wrong here, rather than the wrong is I don't understand. So because of my impurities, by my attachments, I don't understand. So therefore, it slows down the process until that faith is strong. So that's why then we're dealing with anartas, because the faith hasn't transformed into steadiness. Right? So in other words, faith is there. When faith transforms, it becomes sadhusanga. It transforms, it becomes bhajana kriya, like this, until it transforms to become faith. So it hasn't come to that point, because we still have all these doubts, because we still have all these attachments.
As we proceed ahead, like we are accustomed to also see two within the one and three within the one, but seeing the three within the two is also important, because when we deal, when the dynamics goes ahead, like, you know, how the material energy is manifesting and all, then if we can see that way, then it becomes more clear.
Is the three mean who's the two?
That masculine, feminine aspect.
Okay, yes. Because that's the whole point. If the masculine has these three features, the feminine will also have the counterpart. Otherwise, if he's the Lord, then how is it understood? Because he controls everything. So who's controlling? Right, the king's sitting there. Who's at the door? Is the king at the door? No, he's got his guards. His energies are at the door. Right, his ministers are his energies. His army is his ministers. Like that. His administration. Like that. Yeah, good. Is that?
I'm thinking, because this is like an eternal, never to be solved discussion. So maybe we should, when people want to, you know, entertain themselves with this kind of discussion, we should turn their attention to the Abrahamic religions and how the man was created in there. So Paramatma sounds pretty good.
Yeah, Paramatma's a lot better than a handful of dirt, right?
And at the last day, he created everything, and at the last day, he created the man.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I got this thing, it seems a little empty, you know, we need some...
maybe he forgot also.
Yeah, I could have forgot like that. Oh yeah, those guys. Okay, take some dirt. Yeah, okay. That's the origin of the what do you call it? That children's rhyme, patty cake. Yeah, so it's not bad. Yeah, because at least we're coming from the absolute. Because that's the thing, is everyone except the Vaishnavas, Sampradayic Vaishnavas, they all think that the living entity comes from material energy. So even here, they come from matter.
Yeah.
Earth. Right? And then he breathes life into it, but they take it that the body is the real thing. When it's actually that, you know, what's the life? So since the body is there, you breathe life into it. You know, and so the point is that they're not seeing themselves as something separate from the body. So yeah, so they're made of material energy. But that's all the six schools say. Have that, what do you call it? Misunderstanding. Yeah, why not? It's always fun. You just throw them off, huh? Or if they're not into that, then it's a bag of chemicals.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, then it was always explained that if you took the body, you know, dehydrated it, you know, and put, you know, broke it down and put into, you know, what chemicals would take to do that, it'd be a little bag like this. And I think at that time, I forget what it was worth. It was, if it was like worth $1.30 or if it was like $3 and something. But it wasn't worth very much, all those chemicals. I mean, you know, how much sodium's not expensive, you know. You know, phosphorus.
That's what they taught you in school?
Yeah. You didn't get that one? That was just the value of our body is only like that much worth of chemicals. That's what it would take. But at the same time, as they can't produce it and this and that, but they just throw that out as an interesting fact. Like me, of all those classes and that, that's the only one I remember. That's it, you know. All that chemistry, all that biology, and all that, and that's it, you know. That's
directly connected to you.
Hmm? Yeah, but it's just so weird that, you know, you remember that one. You know?
Prabhupada quoted that.
Oh, he did.
No, he said like this. It is worth this much, and then Bhaktiswarupa Damodar Maharaj clearly explained how much it's worth.
Means,
I mean, each major elements in the body, and then these are the ones which,
okay,
chemicals which are worth.
So still worth the same amount.
When I was when we were taught, it was still 110 rupees.
110 rupees.
$1.
Yeah, it's $1.5.
Yeah. Okay. So then it wasn't worth so much. So in those days, it's also chemicals were hard, and now they have the bigger things. So now it's cheaper, right? So, you know, if we go back in inflation, we were worth about, you know, 10 cents or something. You know?
No, but if we take that much food that we eat full of chemicals, so maybe we get more chemicals, so we get more expensive chemicals.
We're worth more. Okay.
Our value increases.
Depending on, yeah, so all the organic people in that, they're only worth $1.30. The guys that eat the chemical stuff, they're worth $1.37, right? You know, see, they got more, you know.
Because they say, you know, it does not disintegrate for such a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Okay, so I was wondering, I was thinking, oh, okay, here's this portion. You know, will anybody bring it up? And then we went on, no one brought it up. So, the product, jiva, which has the qualities of the cause, cannot be separated from the cause, right? So the jiva, because he has the qualities of the cause, means of the Lord, he can't be separated from the Lord. Just like you have the clay pot, you can't be separated from the clay. Right? You can't say it's something different. It's a transformation, but it's not different. Right? The cause is thus the controller of the effect. So clay is the controller of the pot. Right? The nature of clay is what the quality of the pot will have. It won't have something different. So, this has been said in the Gita 10:42 with the verse quoted, just by one portion of myself, Paramatma, I am firmly established in this universe. In Vishnu Purana it is also said, I offer respects to the indestructible Supreme Brahman, by whose portion a 10,000th portion of the Shakti of this universe is situated. Okay. Right. So you're going to have the Paramatma, 10,000 portion of the Shakti of this universe is situated. So the Shakti that it takes for this universe is so small. Here it's just 1/10,000th portion, like that. And then you get the whole Mahatattva. You know, so it's not very much. And then you have unlimited universes, which that's distributed to And then that, then you have all the unlimited bodies, and then that's distributed to. So therefore, you know, a billionth of a billionth, you know. And even that's just to give you an idea. You know. Basically, you'd have to have, what, 10? 10 with a sleeping 8. No? Viti, having described Paramatma and also the differences between Jiva and Paramatma, next the author cites from various scriptures that affirm Paramatma as the possessor of pure Shakti, as the Purusha, right? So we have a little bit of Shakti, but we're trying to exert that all the Shakti around us belongs to us and we're the controller of it, when actually it's controlled by Paramatma. Like I mentioned before, the Jiva's activities then are initiated by the Lord. We want something. He gets it done because we can't do it. It's his energies. But because it happens with our desire and our endeavor, then we lay claim to it. Does that make sense? Yeah. In the same scripture, the Lord is described as the possessor of pure Shakti. Kala kashta nimeshadi kala sutrasya gochare yasya shaktir nashudhasya Sano Vishnu prasidatu. May pure Vishnu, whose Shakti is beyond all divisions of time, be pleased with us. Vishnu Purana 1945. In Narada Pancharatra, Narada says, Shuddha Sargam Aham Deva Yatum Ichami Tatvataha Sarga Dvayasya Chaivasya Yaf paratvena vartate. O Lord, I desire to know in truth about the pure creation, which is superior to the two creations. The two creations refers to matter and the jiva. It is also said, O Brahmana, the all-pervading Lord, the supreme Brahman, eternal, conscious of the universe, the highest bliss, brilliant like 100 fires, suns and moons, and non-different from Vasudeva, filled with all qualities, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, invisible, in visible form, agitated his effulgence and created Achyuta endowed with his power. So Chuto, Chuta Tejas Cha, Swarupam, Vitanoti Vai, Asritya Vasudevam Cha, Kashto Vegan, Kalam Yata. As a cloud in the sky spreads water, Achyuta, taking shelter of Vasudeva, spreads his form, endowed with infallible power. Shobhayitva swam atmanam satya bhasvara vigraham utpad dayam ashatada samudror mir jalam yata. After agitating himself, he created that effulgent form just as water creates ocean waves. So he creates it and then it's there. And you have the word tada. That's it. Sachint maya prakashatma utpadyatmanam atmana purushakyam anantam cha prakasha prasaram mahat. The Lord, as the independent soul manifested by himself, his own form known as the Purusha, who is infinite, great, and filled with brilliance. Sachavai sarva vijnanam ashrayah parameshvara antaryami chatejas teshambai antaryami satesambai tarakanam ivamparam. The form of the Purusha is the shelter of all jivas. He is their inner soul, antaryami. He is like the skies sheltering the stars. Senbhanam pavako yadvat spulinga nichayam dvija anichata prerayati tadvad esha parah prabhu. As a blazing fire manifests many sparks, so the Supreme Lord without desire emits many individual souls. Pragvashana Nibandhanam, bandhanam cha vimuktyate, taye. Tasmad vidhi taram shamstan sarvasham tam ajam prabhum. For liberation from all bondage caused by previous desires, please understand about the jivas and unborn lord of all jivas. Footnote 3. The source of the quotations are unknown. It's not going back to, or it's not part of this Narada Pancharatra. Okay. Right, so there's the Lord independently, then he expands everything. So he expands himself as Paramatma, and then from him is coming all the jivas, the material energy, then the manifestation of that. So in the same position, just as he, by the agitation of his effulgence of his qualities, then the Lord is manifest. So the same way is based on the Brahman of Paramatma, then we see the material world is manifest. Does that make sense? Same cause and effect aspect. But, you know, it's personal.
It could also be the case from that. But Maharaj mentioned it.
Oh, Maharaj said, okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.